Midwest Guys presents Gotham Watch.
Yay, Gotham!
Tell Sal it's over. The guns are bought. The killing room is waiting. He doesn't know it, but he's a dead man. On second thought, I'll tell him myself.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Gotham Watch. Tonight we'll be going over Into the Woods. With me today is Mr. Brian Eckenbauer.
Yeah, what's up, what's up?
And my brother Aaron.
Yeah, how's it going, man?
How's it going, dude? All right, guys, so let's get right into the Woods. The whole episode starts off with a little bit of Batman-esque. We've got Selina and Bruce both jumping rooftops, and by this point it looks like Bruce has mastered jumping rooftops. No problem.
He didn't have any problem making that jump. He even went back. Selina was like, leave the bag of money. Oh, after she dropped, she hit her arm or something, right?
Right.
And she dropped the bag of money. She said, leave it, let's go. And he's tempting fate to see how quick he is.
Yeah, he doubles back,
gets it, takes off, makes that leap like it's nothing.
Yep.
And then proceeds to turn around and just start throwing the money down.
Yeah.
And Selina's like, don't do that.
What are you doing?
And he's like, I'm doing this for the research, not for the money.
Right. And he dumps the rest of the money, and of course he says, I saved some for burgers. But yeah. I think the bigger thing to take away from the scene is he's testing his skills, trying to become more, getting a little bit closer to Batman anyway.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely kind of at least getting more acquainted with the city. He's kind of learning some of the agility aspects he might not have been getting from Alfred within the show.
Yeah, he feels a little bit more, a lot less like helpless little Bruce Wayne, and more maybe a little bit like Batboy kind of.
He's at the Robin stage of his development.
Yeah, so we'll call him Batboy for now, I guess. So
Boy Bat,
boy, the boy who would become the Bat. Gordon, so we see Gordon. Obviously, he's gone back into Gotham to clear his name. He's being helped out by Bullock, who's kind of temporarily puts him in shelter.
Mm.
And Gordon kind of gives himself away, though. As the lady's being mugged, he can't help but step in. And
can't help but do the right thing.
Yeah, she seems a little freaked out when she knows it's him, though. So that was a fun little nod.
She was all excited that she was saved.
And then she's like,
then she realized who it was, and then she screamed right away.
Yeah.
Right, so... but another good example of showing that Gordon, despite all the crap he's done, at heart is still the good guy.
Mm-hmm.
He has his moments, yeah.
Yeah, so... they discover an audio tape also. Bullock, apparently people who call in, because Nygma is the one to set them up, they record all the...
Internal affairs.
Gets the tape through some... a little bit of booty action, giving up his body.
Yeah, because apparently they're old acquaintances.
Right. He has a few connections in internal affairs and...
yeah, Bullock makes a few phone calls.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Yeah, gives him some, takes one for the team.
So Patton passed the keys off.
Right.
To Gordon to go get the tape.
Right. So they get the audio tape and they play it, and it's pretty bad, bad recording. Yeah.
Well, on top of the bad recording, it was also masked with a voice over thing, so
right.
You couldn't understand who it was.
And there's some sort of weird howling.
Weird sound in the background. They thought it was a, what did they think it was?
I think they thought it was a bird of some kind, yeah.
Did they say bird?
Yeah, they say bird, yeah, believe it or not. So
I thought they said it was something else, and then they're like later on thought it was, that's a bird.
Mm. I would call it high-pitched howling almost.
Like a whistle? Sound.
Yeah, almost. It's close. So, so out of all the people Gordon goes to ask for help from, he actually goes to Nygma's apartment.
Mm.
Because Nygma apparently is good with sound, I guess.
Well, Nygma's kind of been all throughout the SI department.
Yeah, that's true.
There.
He kind of, I guess he dabbles.
He's been in the medical ward. He's been through, some of the actual evidence lockers and things like that.
Well, he's in charge of evidence, yeah. And he's been his friend, what he thought was his friend the entire time.
Well, Penguin, so he knows, like, there's some overlap and,
But did he?
Who they know and his corruption.
Do you think he went there with that intention, or do you think he was trying to flush out a lead?
No, I think
he really just was trying to get the tape. kind of listenable.
He was, yeah, he was just, I think he was going there strictly as a, he's a good, you know, a expert.
Right.
An expert at it, and having to stumble across the fact that it was him.
Not only was he an expert at it, but he thought he was someone he could kind of trust to a certain extent.
Yeah, he said, I have a few friends left in the city.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, so, Nygma, very nervous right off the get-go.
Because he startled him.
Startled the heck.
He's like, you're just the guy I'm looking for.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, what do you mean?
And obviously, you know, Gordon picks up on it. You know, he's fiddling around with the tea, and he's all nervous, and he picks up on that. And obviously, he eventually reveals that he is the one. And he even uses a riddle. I forget the line, but the answer was a clock.
The answer was death.
Yeah. Oh, was it death?
Death.
Okay. Well, he comes out. And
well, I thought that was like
that
the
was
one
later.
Last
that was
later.
No,
later.
The first riddle was the clock because he reveals that the sound they hear is the cuckoo clock.
Yeah.
And that's.
Oh, that's right.
That's how he.
Because it actually goes off like a moment.
Well, because first Nygma was trying to play it off, and he listens to the tape. He said, "No, if it's garbage, can't listen to it.
Yeah.
You can't pick anything out of it." And then after he fiddles around, he's real nervous. Then yeah. Gordon's like, "How about we listen to it together?"
Right.
And then he listens to it, and he's like, "Is that a? It sounds like a bird, but not a real, like a mechanical bird."
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden the clock goes off behind.
Yeah, well, that's after he gives the riddle about the clock,
yeah.
too. Yeah. So, again, very very riddler-ish. So, I definitely say
riddler-ish.
Riddler-ish.
Very riddler-ish.
So yeah, very cool scene. I liked it. I like the guy who's playing Nygma. And I like mm-hmm. where they're going with the character. I don't think they've misfired yet.
No, like, with their actors on the villains, they actually have been doing really good casting on that. We've seen that with Penguin, with the Joker, or Jerome, earlier on in the season.
Right.
Like, in terms of casting, like, its villains, it's done it really well.
Yeah. So, and then at the end, he shocks Gordon with, because he goes, I know that you knew that I knew. And
yeah, I know that you knew that I knew that you knew. And that's why you're sitting on the chair.
That's why hardwired to an electric.
Yeah,
essentially, you know, puts him in the electric chair, mild version.
At least enough to function as like a stun gun sort of thing.
Right. So, fast forward a little bit. He's basically getting him out of the trunk of the car, or trying to put him in.
He was trying to drag him in out to the trunk of the car. I actually found that scene really amusing, just watching him try to drag the body.
Drag
back.
The body back.
And he was gonna take him. Obviously, he's gonna take him out where he buried. Mm-hmm. Chris Kringle,
right. And eventually Gordon gives him the slip. He shoots him in the leg. And they end up in a warehouse. And Nygma eventually gives up the reason that... Because Gordon's like, why are you doing this to me? And he gives the initials KK, which is obviously Kristen Kringle. And, you know, so they reveal that... And Gordon finally puts it all together right there.
Yeah.
What's going on. So what'd you guys think of that whole scene with, you know, them in the warehouse and him finally giving up Kristen Kringle's name? And
it seemed a little fast-paced to kind of move through everything, but otherwise fine.
Okay. Also, next scene, we see Bruce mends Selena's jacket, which got torn in their little affair, and he patches it up, and it looks very familiar. It looks very much like the Catwoman suit we see in...
the Tim Burton.
Tim Burton, Batman Returns.
Yep.
Sort of thing, so.
Yeah, it was a nice little Easter egg. I mean, you can either take it as an Easter egg or as maybe that's kind of the Batman he's working towards, is like the actual Tim Burton-verse sort of variant.
Maybe, or again, it's just a nice little foreshadow / Easter egg.
Well, I mean, that is one of the few films where the Penguin is actually a good bit older than Batman by the time that film comes around.
That's true, but, you know, he's not down in the sewer either.
Yeah.
At least not
yet. Not yet.
Not yet. So, they're about to, Bruce and Selena are having their puppy love moment, and who shows up there but Gordon, and he just kind of shows up, says, Bruce, what are you doing here? And passes out on the couch.
Yeah, he says, I know who set me up. It was, and then he passes out.
Yeah, there's a lot of moments in this show for Gordon just pass out. Mm-hmm. Same with Alfred. Just either hospitalized or knocked out, something.
Mm-hmm. And so they take him back to Wayne Manor, and there's a little bit of a scene there between Alfred and Gordon there, and talking about what are you going to do, how are you going to do it, etc. cetera, et cetera. I thought it was an interesting little exchange. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how you would describe. How would you guys describe that scene between Alfred and Gordon? There, would you say it's just kind of a, I don't know, like a little back and forth, maybe, or it?
It seemed almost questioning.
It's almost
of
like
how
a scolding of yeah. Gordon in a way to me. I don't know.
It comes across that way, a little interrogating, but it's hard to say. I don't know.
Yeah, Brian,
I didn't even find it memorable.
Really?
Yeah, okay. It's really. It's not a highlight.
It just felt as like.
Yeah, even when we were kind of like going through like the scenes we've really remember from the episode, it doesn't really strike you as that memorable.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe it's just me. It just kind of struck me as like he was scolding Gordon for everything he's done wrong and.
So like it had that kind of vibe to you, like he was just like, "You really effed this up."
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it was kind of like, "Well, you're not doing so good so far, so now what are you gonna do?"
Yeah,
kind of trying to get him back on track, almost like he was being Alfred to Gordon, just like Alfred is to Batman.
They might have been going for that sort of angle with that.
It kind of, I don't know. That's what I thought. Also, during this whole thing, Alfred pulls Bruce aside, and Bruce is like, "Well, I'm going back to the city." But Alfred throws him the nugget that Fox has fixed the computer down in the Bat Room. Won't call it the Bat Cave yet.
It's not quite there yet, unless there's another hidden
right.
door.
We'll just call it the Bat Room. So down in the cave in the hidden room, he's fixed the computer, and obviously that catches Bruce's attention. And then he hits Bruce, goes one step further, and says, "Well, you can't endanger Selina. You can't tell her." Now, is that...
Was it Bruce that brought that up, or was it Alfred?
It was Alfred that brings it up. So my question is, was Alfred being slick there and getting rid of Selina? Because he doesn't really care for Selina too much, although he did give her credit. Or do you think he was actually trying to do the right thing and actually instill that in Bruce, that you're going to put her in danger if you tell her?
A little bit of both.
Yeah.
Because if you look at it on one hand, yeah, he didn't like her, but he did say, "I used to not like her and used to not care for her. But she is there for you."
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And with that being said, you can't put people in danger just because of your adventure kind of thing.
Yeah. Like, there is a certain moral that's to be passed along, even if he does kind of want to get between them a little bit.
Yeah. So the next scene, Selina is planted. Essentially, they plant Selina. She goes into
to try to collect reward.
Collect the reward for Gordon. And, obviously, Nygma being there overhears this, and
yeah, he knows where the body's buried.
Yeah, where the body's buried. So
yeah, well, he's thinking that they're going to find Penguin, and that Penguin's going to rat him out, and
right.
he doesn't know where Penguin is either.
Actually, Selina even says that Penguin, Gordon talked to Penguin, and that's what gets Nygma going, right?
Yeah.
So they're basically planting a trap, which he completely falls for. He goes to the murder site, goes to start digging her up again,
and talks to her.
Right, it's like,
"Hello, Miss Kristen. Hello, blah, blah, blah.
I didn't think we'd be meeting again ever again.
But I have to move you."
Mm-hmm.
Right. And obviously Gordon shows up, and they do their confrontation. And
yeah, he's like, "Did the Penguin, you know, squeal on me?" And he's like, "No, I just
followed you."
Yeah. And he's like, "Well, what do people try to get a hold of?" And then it gets out of their hands or whatever, but it always comes for them. Or whatever. He's like,
"Yeah.
Death? And he's like, "Yes." And he goes ready to shoot him. And all of a sudden, all the cops come out from all the trees.
Yeah. And for a brief second, I'll hand it to the actor. I actually thought he might try to shoot Gordon there. Eventually, he whistles out and tries to run away.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
for a
actually,
brief second, I thought maybe.
It's almost funny because he's trying to run away and he just kind of falls down. You just see him like that.
Yeah.
What I didn't understand about this, the whole scenario,
yeah,
is that the commish, what is his name?
Captain whatever, yeah.
So, whatever his name is, Captain whatever, to this point, he's still out to get Gordon.
Up until this point, yeah.
But all of a sudden, now
he's working with him.
He's working with him. And I'm
he does say earlier in the episode, "I hope he can clear his name." I hope he does clear his name.
Right, but every other time, he gets a chance to bring him in, he brings him in, regardless, and then says, "You know, clear your name from in here," or whatever. And this just seems odd that they would let Gordon out there walking around,
yeah.
and all the cops are surrounding
yeah. Seems a bit forced in terms of storyline.
I think what they're trying to do there is the captain has done something bad in the past, and now he sticks to the letter. He doesn't veer off of it.
Right, but if that was the case, then they would have arrested Gordon right away.
Yeah, he wouldn't, like, work with him to, like, set up a trap.
True. Maybe, you know, eventually they got through to him. Maybe they're, you know.
I don't know. It just seemed off to me.
A bit forced, and it's one of those things, like, we're just going to write this to work out. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Well, I think if they didn't have the Penguin narrative going on in this as well, they may have had time to flush that out, but yeah.
It seems like a lot of things, like, within the last half the season have seemed kind of forced, kind of rushed.
It's very fast-paced, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, it's just there's a lot of little plot things that it's just like, we're just gonna jump over that.
Yeah, and it may be that they changed direction, like, this maybe isn't what we were supposed to see in season two, and they got all the negative reaction from the first half of the season, and now they're trying to correct the course.
Episode was supposed to be 4 hours, and they had to cut it down.
Like Batman v Superman, yeah. Nice job, Warner Brothers. So Nygma runs away. They capture him, and he gets thrown in Arkham. And he is now another play toy for
Doctor Strange.
So I am still loving that character. I would like more of him, actually.
Yeah, I mean, it seems a little odd. All we're really seeing him do is more or less just letting people go.
Go, or torture, or manipulate.
Yeah, so there has to be some kind of trigger that he can
do to set him off.
Well, I don't know. When he was releasing Barbara, like, he was kind of, there was a dialogue there. Is like, so what do you expect her to do? He's like, I honestly have no idea. Which is just one of those things, like, it almost seems like he's just like, well, let's just see where this goes. This is going to be interesting.
And that's another narrative we haven't touched on yet, is Barbara wakes up. Barbara's in maybe one class where she admits that she's crazy and a murderer. And
yeah.
Then he lets her go and says, oh, you're perfectly sane.
It's like, all I needed to do was just sleep, and I'm fine now.
Mm-hmm. But she's even questioning Dr. Strange, are you sure I'm okay? Are you sure I'm fine?
Yeah, go out. Have fun.
And where's the first place she goes?
Right to Gordon, which is at the end of the episode. Also part of this episode is, just real briefly, is Gordon is obviously exonerated. He's offered back his job. He says, there's one more thing I have to do. I have to find... Before I come back. Find Bruce Wayne's killer, parents' killers. And...
Yeah, it's going very heavily with the conspiracy.
And the captain says, and also you have to talk to Lee.
Yeah, and he says, I'll give you the Wayne file, here's her card, but you gotta take the card. Yeah. He does.
And Barbara knocks on the door right as he was calling.
Right as, yeah, after he...
Because Lee answers, says hello, and then he hangs up like, we're not ready to talk to her. Then there's a knock at the door, and it happens to be Barbara.
Yeah. Right, so which will lead into next week's episode. Okay, so the cooler narrative in this episode, if you ask me, or the darker narrative, is the Penguin.
No, you're right, it's the more fun narrative.
Yeah, it's the Penguin narrative. In this, so obviously Penguin's dad, who he just found maybe a few weeks ago, is
in the show. It might have been several, but yeah,
maybe, hard to tell. But only a couple episodes as far as we're concerned, is obviously killed by his stepmother, mm-hmm, and stepbrother and sister. But these guys are just cruel and honestly deserve what they got, as far as I'm concerned, because right at the end, they're walking out of his dad's funeral, Penguin's holding the flower he took from his dad's casket, and she's like, Penguin's like, oh, we're going to be one happy family, and she's like, no.
Yeah, she's like, get off me, are you going to take a car?
Yeah, can I call you a cab or something? It's like, where am I going to go? It's like, not with us. Yeah. We own the house and everything, so sorry, see you later. And obviously Penguin's like, please, please, please.
Then there's that line, I always hated Lily's throw them away sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. They decide to make him the butler so that they can fire the maid, even though they've got all this money.
And have help for free.
Before they decide to kill him later on. These people deserve to die. I mean, talk about cruel intentions. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I feel like there's a film reference there.
Very much so. He becomes the butler. He makes him this meal, which is like his family recipe from his mother.
Mm.
And the whole time, his stepmom's saying, your whore mother.
Whore mother's goulash.
Yeah, your whore mother's goulash.
Yeah, and the stepbrother likes it.
Right, he's in there gobbling it down, and he's like, oh, And he spits it out.
Because the mother says, this is awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. They start throwing food at him.
They're tormenting him. Clean him
up. And his stepmother is very insistent on having a roast for Sunday and not one of his whore mother's recipes.
Exactly. Sort of. And that's when they throw the food at him. And he's taking it all in stride.
He's like, good shot. Good shot. Yeah. Yes,
good times.
This is a weird one-sided food fight, but okay.
Yeah. And so he's in the kitchen and the kids come in and say, you know, or actually he's in the kitchen. He finds the same bottle of whiskey.
I'm not sure if that was like the kitchen or like a bar sort of thing.
It's in the kitchen. It's part of the kitchen. Yeah,
there was a sink behind him.
Oh, and okay. It was hidden in a drawer. And he finds it, and he starts putting two and two together. He pours it into the dog dish. The dog drinks it. Dog dies.
Yeah, you see the dog just over and over.
And that was the instant. Yeah. You just see the switch in his head.
The eye and everything.
And he started laughing.
Yeah, hysterically. And the kids come in and tell him to remind him about the roast. And they're like, what's wrong with you? Because they've noticed a change in a look in him. And he's like, nothing, I'll have the roast prepared. You know. So, best scene of the whole thing is finally it's the next day. And it's time for the roast.
It's the dinner.
The dinner. And Penguin comes out, and Penguin's in his suit that his dad made him. And he brings out the two roasts. Yeah, not one roast, but two roasts. And the mother, his stepmother's like, where are so-and-so, the kids, at? And he's like, I don't think they'll hear. He muddles something. And he's like, oh, here, let me serve you.
They'll be down any minute.
Yeah. And he gives her a good piece of the one roast. And she's like, how is it? And she goes, it's not very tender.
Yeah, it's rough.
It's a little rough. And
he's like, oh, try the other one. It's much more tender.
Try from the other joint.
The other joint. It's much more tender. So she tries that.
She's like, no, it's equally rough. It's just as bad.
Yeah, and then she's like, where are my kids at?
Yeah. And he's like, you're eating them.
He's like, you thought so-and-so was so rough, but she was much more tender. I insist on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then obviously turns and I don't know if it's an ice pick, a knife. What I think it's a carving knife, and does her in.
Yeah.
Which, what did you guys think?
It's probably one of the best scenes of the episode, really. Just talking about the roast and how the one's so much more tender. It's like it's a very fun moment for him, and it's a highlight of like the story arc, really.
Incredibly dark humor. What do you think,
Brian? Oh yeah, I mean that was by far my favorite of the episode. We had the most impact of what we've been watching, waiting to find out if Penguin was, when he was going to switch back, what was going to be the trigger.
Right.
And that's what it turned out to be, was his father's death.
That trick sends him back.
Sends him right back to where he was before. So now I'm curious to see where he goes now, because now he has his father's mansion, his father's cars,
and now he's kind of back to...
And he's kind of back to what he was before. So now, is he going to rival Butch?
I would think so. Because even at the end, but he's got more, I think he's going to have a more of that aristocrat feel, high society criminal this time. Because even at the end, he's sitting at the other end of the table, he's drinking wine,
and he's
toasting his dead stepmother who's at the other end.
As much as I like this moment, I really do kind of wish they extended out the family arc a little longer.
Yeah.
Like, I would have liked to see Ruben's, like, kind of survive a little longer. I would have liked this to take in place over a couple more episodes.
Yeah, and again, I think they're riding a ship here, is my guess. I think they're speeding things up maybe a little bit, and I think because of, you know, the feedback, I think, and I think they're riding a ship, but we'll see. All right, guys. Well, that was a very fun episode, although dark ending. So let's get right to final thoughts and grades. All right, Aaron, I'll give you the honor of the first final thought and grade.
In terms of grade, B-, C+, in that kind of range. Like, it had some fun moments, but to be honest, a lot of stuff seemed like it was really fast-paced. We're kind of jumping over some plot holes. And I really feel like they could have taken the time with it and actually done a lot of this, like, kind of arcs. They kind of concluded a lot better.
I'll actually give it a solid B. I think it was a good episode. It was fun. It was dark, obviously, but... dark and twisted, fun kind of way. It was great conclusion, albeit everything was a little bit fast. Otherwise, I would have given it an A, because the plots are moving very fast. Things are moving very fast. things are happening. You know, Jim's in jail, and then he's out of jail, and then he clears his name. The whole Enigma arc's done.
Yeah,
Penguin
really,
loses his mother,
then...
finds his dad. His dad dies, and back to being bad again. You know, so things are moving a little quick. And for that, that's why I'll take it down to a B. Otherwise, I think the episode overall by itself is an A, but I'm going to drop it down to a B just because it's moving so quickly. I think a little too quick. Brian, what's your final thought?
I'm actually going to give it an A for the same reason why you dropped it down to a B.
Okay.
Was because of how fast it's going. It actually is keeping my attention the entire show. I don't feel like we're being drawn. It's drawn out.
Mm-hmm.
They're putting the emphasis on the certain key elements, so it's not like they're going past things that we needed to cover.
Yeah.
But like, there are some plot holes, but they're hitting all the right spots. Unlike some other shows that kind of just skip over complete storylines, it feels like, and it's like, wait a minute, how did that even happen? Yeah. So at least here we're seeing the pivotal points,
mm-hmm.
right, as they happen. And like I said, we got to see the Penguin go back to his normal self,
right?
So you know,
but with a nice twist, man.
Yeah, and it's like, how's that going to affect down the line? We saw the little, we'll call it a kid breakup.
Mm-hmm.
Between Selena and Bruce.
Yeah.
And then, like, what that was at the end of the episode where we saw the back computer turn on?
Yeah, the we
and we hear the voice
that.
Saying...
Yeah,
you don't hear much. It's kind of... They kind of cut it real quick. It's hard.
Well, it's the woman voice, and it says, system is now operational, or whatever.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the back cave when he comes in.
The back computer.
The back computer.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of cool too. So I'm curious.
It's the Windows 95 equivalent.
Yeah.
So it's going to be very interesting to see also where they send Barbara and how that all feeds into the next episode about
mm-hmm.
him trying to find the Wayne murderers and stuff like that. So very, very cool. All right. So where can you find Four Midwest Guys? Well, you can find us at the following. You can find us on iTunes by searching for the number 4 Midwest Guys. You can find us on Stitcher as well as OneCast, any other app, online app. If we're not on one, let me know. You can find us on YouTube now by searching the number 4 Midwest Guys. We're starting to put like just our audio podcast on there as well. Eventually, we'll do video down the line. Twitter continues. You can find us at the number 4 Midwest Guys. Mr. Ankenbauer, where can people find you?
You can find me at Ankzone. That's ANKZONE. Today, we're actually... video for the first time.
Periscope. Hello
on Periscope. Hello Periscope. So you can watch us on Periscope for the next 48 hours.
So
so we might start doing this for all of our
a little behind the scenes action. You get to see it live.
Yep.
Before we edit. and also the other thing I found out the other day, just go to Google the number 4 Midwest Guys, and that'll bring up our YouTube, our Facebook page, which I didn't mention, which is facebook.com/the number 4 Midwest Guys. All that stuff. Everything I just mentioned, you can find there. The only thing I will tell you is podcast.com, which has picked up our feed, is about a month behind. So you might want to skip that one, but the rest of them are up to date on our feeds and on our latest podcast that we release. So.
Yeah, so message us on there, message us on Twitter, message us on email,
our
Gmail account.
Yep, I am number 4 midwestguys@gmail.com.
Yeah, so send us any kind of questions, any kind of ideas. If you have shows, we just had a
planning meeting.
We just had a planning meeting tonight, so we've blocked out the next couple months.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have any ideas for shows you'd like, we have a bunch of good ones coming down the pipeline. But if you have anything you'd like to hear from us, or any kind of reviews you want to hear, TV shows we should watch,
mm-hmm.
We actually are getting ready. We're going to start Game of Thrones. It'll be our next one.
Yep, the Game of Thrones. There'll be a review show for every Game of Thrones episode.
So if you have a favorite TV show that you want us to watch, let us know. We'll see if we can't work it into the system.
Absolutely. And so on that note, Brian, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And my brother Aaron, thank you, sir.
Yeah, no problem.
Absolutely. And for myself, B. Willie, saying see you next same bat time, same bat channel.